Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Wednesday. And as always on Wednesday, this is Trevor Davis, not Steve, for the Wednesday show that starts at 1 p.m. now. So thank you all so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate all of the emails I've been getting, requests for the book, positive feedback. To start off with, if you want to get the Richest Man in Babylon PDF for free, I will send it straight to your email. All you need to do is send me an email. That's Trevor@TotalWealthAcademy.com. Trevor@TotalWealthAcademy.com, and I'll send you that book. Or if you have any questions, or if you have something that you want to ask that you don't want to ask over the air for any reason, you can feel free to send that to the email, and I will do my best to get that question answered. With all my shows, I start off with a quote by Albert Einstein, which says, "The measure of intelligence is the ability to change." How are you able to break out of the habits that you are a part of and make something different happen, which will get you the different results that you want? Because the reality, like it or not, is that we are a result of our habits. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey is so important because he identifies the fact that there are certain habits that extremely effective people tend to do overwhelmingly. And it's one of my favorite books of all time because as you digest material from Western cultures like Europe, you go into African cultures, you go into Indian cultures, East Asian cultures, Polynesian cultures, and American cultures, you see that expressed in different ways, there are just certain principles that work effectively across humanity in all situations and seem to be getting people the most consistent results. For many of us that are familiar with us at Total Wealth Academy, you've probably heard us talk about the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People many times. It's one of the core foundational books that we believe in, and it's part of our reading list. And it's, to me, if there's any book that I could recommend that someone read, it's going to be this one, to build upon success, to identify some habits that may not be working and become better for it. Now, what Stephen Covey did is he created a conceptualized drawing of the 7 habits. And it's a triangle pyramid at the bottom. There's a flat platform in the center, and then there's a triangle pyramid at the top that's upside down. And basically, the bottom pyramid is the private victory, the top pyramid is the public victory, and in the center is independence, at the bottom is dependence, at the top is interdependence. But these pyramids only cover a total of 6 of the habits. The bottom pyramid is covering the private victory habits, and the top pyramid is covering the public victory habits, 3 each. Surrounding everything is the 7th habit of highly effective people, which is called sharpen the saw. The very first thing you read in this book, the first habit you read is be proactive. This means approaching activity with earnest, approaching the day with earnest, approaching the things that you need to do with earnest, instead of listening to the part of us that I can speak to because I'm so aware of it. I know I have this part of me that's the lazy bones. That's the part of me that just wants to sort of sit on the couch and play video games or watch TV all day. There just seems to be this constant struggle between that part of us and the part of us that is proactive. And of course, it's no surprise that the effective people are able to channel the proactivity in a very effective way on a consistent basis. There's never anything in this book that says that the people he's identified are these perfect superhuman individuals. They really don't exist. I mean, once you start diving into the personality types of the people that have achieved whatever success it is you consider to be super successful, you know, beyond what they've done, they're a normal person like you and me. They are somebody that could have been just like you, and you're somebody that can be just like them. But there is a significant difference in the habits that they cultivate and the habits that they practice that gets them to that point. And maybe that's what we can ultimately define as superhuman or not, but there are definitely many things habit-wise, not really personality-wise, that makes the successful and effective people so effective and so successful. So with habit 7, this surrounds all of the others. This is the last habit listed in the book, and that's important because you're starting off with being proactive. You read the other 5 habits beyond the first one, then you get to the last one, and that's the end of the book, which is sharpen the saw. So there's a lot of significance to the principles that come from this one. This is the shortest chapter in the book, so if you already have this book and you want to get a refresher, this is a quick read. This is probably a 20-30 minute read for most people. And he starts off with a story. Stephen Covey's story goes like this, and I'm going to give my own embellishments to it. He says, you're walking in the woods one day. You're just going along for a stroll. You're by yourself, or you're with someone, and you start hearing a noise in the distance. And you can't really tell what it is at first, but it sounds like someone's working in the distance in the forest. And as you start walking along the path, the noise gets louder and louder and louder. And you turn past a row of trees, and you see a woman who's has an axe in her hand. Well, she has a saw, and she's trying to chop down this big tree for whatever reason. But you're a little bit confused because she looks like she's extremely tired doing this job that ultimately it's a pretty strenuous, but she looks like she's really winded, like she's about to pass out. She's straining so much to do this job. And you ask this woman, what are you doing? And the woman replies, can't you see? I'm trying to saw down this dang tree. Okay, clearly she's tired because she's angry, and obviously it's not at you because you've never met her before and you're just walking along in the woods, so clearly she's frustrated with this situation. And then you say, you look exhausted. How long have you been at it? How long have you been here trying to chop down this one single tree? I mean, it looks pretty big, but how long do you intend to be here chopping down this one tree? And she says, over 5 hours, and I'm beat out of my mind. This is extremely hard work. But you look at the saw for a second, and you can tell it's just not really been taken care of. This saw looks dull. It's clearly not cutting through the wood very well. And that makes you wonder, like, why in the world is she using this saw? I mean, shouldn't she use something better? And you say, well, why don't you take a break for a few minutes and sharpen that saw? I'm sure it would go a lot faster. And the reply you get back is, I don't have time to sharpen the saw. I'm too busy sawing. That's how the sharpen the saw starts. So we have somebody who's on a job with a tool that they need to use, and they're going to keep at it even though they're burning themselves out. And they can't even get the job at hand done because they're not even going to take the time to take that tool, fix it, correct it, and sharpen it so that when they get back to the job at hand, they're able to do it that much better. This woman was using a saw that at that point wasn't going to cut through butter. So she had put herself in a very difficult position in the sense that she was going to have to be there, if she was lucky, maybe another 5 hours with the saw like that. Does this sound like something familiar that you may be experiencing at this point? Have you ever gotten to a point during your work where you just convince yourself to plow through when really it might have been a better idea to take a quick break and recharge and come back recharged to do a better job? I think a lot of us get into that position. Once we get back, we're going to continue expanding on Sharpen the Saw by Stephen Covey. Stay tuned.
That it's normal to lose money in a down market. That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. And you just heard the call out for calling in, but give us a call, 281-558-KSEV, 281-558-KSEV. If you have something you would like to talk about, it does not have to be completely related to what we're discussing today. It can even be just about real estate, so please do not hesitate to call, 281-558-KSEV. We just got started with Sharpen the Saw by Stephen Covey, as he explains it in his book. We just talked about how if you had the experience of coming upon somebody that was trying to chop down a tree in the middle of the woods, and it was clear they needed to sharpen their saw, but they were insistent on completing this job in the sense that they were not even going to stop to sharpen the saw, I mean, how would you feel about that person? Would you consider them to be in control of their emotional state? Would you consider them to be in control of the situation, which is completing this task at hand? You know, no to both. This is somebody that has gotten to a point where they're so locked in and over-focused, maybe, on this task at hand that they're not able to identify the fact that they need to take a break to sharpen the saw. And maybe let's not even call it a break in the sense that they're not going to take this time off to just mess around, but they're literally going to stop doing the task at hand to take the saw and resharpen it. And then all of a sudden, the saw is sharp, and all of a sudden, they're going to be able to chop down this tree in 30 minutes instead of another 5 hours, basically just sliding a dull saw against the inside of this trunk, and it's not going to do anything. The whole purpose here is that we're going to need to identify the points at which we need to give ourselves time to recharge and rest correctly. It's always going to be this balancing act. And this was a really cool turn of phrase I heard recently from somebody that joined up, is that they don't consider themselves to be balanced individuals. They consider themselves balancing individuals. Because there's not really going to be a point where you're just going to be balanced, static, flawless in every way, and nothing is going to come up for the rest of your life that's going to shake that balance. That's not what's going to happen. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be unexpected events. There are going to be these things that are going to try and throw you off balance. And if we look at it as two sides of a scale, let's just say we've got one side as the work side. We've got one side as the rest and relaxation side. If we've got a situation that's putting more stress on us with the work side, we're going to need to throw more on the rest and relaxation side. Because what's going on the work side? It's falling down, 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 down. And if we get so overweighted on the work and stress side, or whatever you want to call it for yourself, the whole thing is going to collapse, and all the weights that we've been trying to stack up on this scale are going to fall off, and then we're going to be in a messed up situation. In a situation like that, if we take this very literal example of a scale, we've got the weights on the side that say work, and we put 50 pounds of work on that side. How much rest and relaxation are we going to need to balance that out? 50 pounds on the other side. Whatever that means to you, and it doesn't necessarily mean that for 40 hours a week of work, you have to have 40 exact hours of whatever it is, of rest and relaxation, but it does need to be proportional to enough, and it's unique for every person, to where you are recharged, you are content in your non-work time, and whenever it comes back, to the working hours, the helping other people time with your job, you've gotten resharpened. Your saw is resharpened. And whenever I really think about it, I love the discussion of talking about the balance there, but sometimes I want to make sure that we're not just thinking about it in terms of, oh, this is the balance for work, or the work is the balance for the fun and the pleasure. You know, sometimes I think you should just work and enjoy the work for itself. And you should also look at the other side and find the fun things and the pleasurable things and just look at them for what they are. I don't think you need to keep racking your brain over every single little detail when it comes to the rest and relaxation, especially because it's supposed to be relaxing. And if you create a situation where you're getting overly stressed about the relaxation, then I think that's going to end up sabotaging it from the inside out. So I guess that's a balancing act we have to put in there. But when it really comes down to it, find out what it is that you enjoy spending your free time on and pursue it without stress, without guilt, and just embrace that free time and turn your brain off of work mode. Turn your brain off from that sense of I have to be hustling, I have to be grinding, I have to be doing this, that, and the other, and there's all these other things I could be doing right now that would be making me money and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can't be spending every single solitary second of your time doing that stuff because you're going to get burned out sooner or later and you're not going to have the balancing or balanced life that most of us are looking for. And I say most of us because I would definitely argue that some people want to have a life where it's almost all grind. And that's excellent. If that's what you want, you know, keep doing that. Because I'm telling you, for everybody else like myself who want to relax, like, hey, you need to do that. But you have to be prepared for some of the consequences of extreme grinding and extreme working day in and day out for years and years and decades, because you still have a human body, you still have a human body with needs, and like it or not, no matter who you are, one of those needs is rest and relaxation. And if you burn yourself out by age 40 and you start having severe health problems, or even earlier for some people, I mean, if your whole point was to keep doing this thing that you love, you can't use that and get to a point where you end up sabotaging your own health and then you can't even do the thing that you wanted to do anymore. You know, the hustling and grinding and the working hard on a daily basis. If that's what you love and you really want to do it for as long as possible, then you have to take care of your body and you have to make sure you're resting and relaxing. Okay, so when we talk about the rest and relaxation, everybody's got something different that really makes them achieve that sense of calm and peace that they need to detach themselves from what can sometimes be a stressful work environment. One of the most common things that Americans use in their free time is television. And TV has now been around for a very long period of time. And television became popular in the 1950s and 60s, you know, after World War II. The radio was slowly being phased out a little bit by the televisions, in the sense that whenever people gathered in the living room, you used to have the fireside chats with FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our president for most of World War II, before he passed away near the end of the war and then Truman took over. You know, that was the big event. That was the big thing people came together to enjoy, was the radio. You had a radio in the living room, everybody gathered around and listened, and then that was replaced by the television, and of course radio has transitioned to a slightly different format in the sense that we like to listen to it in our cars, we like to stream it online. It's just, it's changed. But television has been around for a long period of time, and we Americans love our televisions. So far, television has changed a lot. I think everybody here listening now has got a streaming service subscription or multiple streaming service subscriptions that allows them to watch shows with no ads or minimal ads. And we're also able to watch this stuff on our mobile devices. So right now, I would say people are watching, it's looking like 2 hours and 46 minutes per day of television. And once we get to that point, is that really what we want to be doing with all of our free time, is just consuming the television? Again, if this is something that we want to relax on, I think that's going to be okay. But once you add that all up, the data comes from 2013 to 2017 that we're at 19.25 TV hours a week for the average person. Once we get back, I'm going to start talking about the balancing act between some of these more passive relaxation activities and how we can use them in a healthy way. Stay tuned.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Halfway point with the show. We just start expanding on what are some of the most common activities people do in their free time. And I want to start approaching the balancing to this, as we've talked about the balancing of work and free time and the pleasure time. I want to make the argument here that we want to be spending our time in the free time doing things that are allowing us to get significant benefit as well. And that's not going to be to say that you should not do any of these activities ever. That's an extremist point of view. That's way too far beyond, and there's just nothing that says the reasonable consumption of these activities is going to cause harm. But right now, the average American, the data is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and from 2013 to 2017, the U.S. civilian, non-institutional population, as in people that are not in prison, age 15 and older, spent an average of 2 hours and 46 minutes per day watching TV. When you take 2 hours and 46 minutes per day, take that by 7, and you're looking at 19 hours and 15 minutes of television each week. So just under a full day each week of watching television. And because this is relatively recent data, this is something that already includes live programming, cable television, DVDs, Blu-ray discs, and streaming shows on the TV, on the computer, and on all portable devices. And that's what we're looking at. And when I looked at some of the numbers for what happened during the pandemic, there were slight increases in the consumption, and so far it hasn't seemed like they've gone down yet. So we're still really in the COVID period. It's been over 2 years at this point, and man, as crazy and as shocking as that is to say, but, you know, we're still dealing with the effects of COVID-19 over 2 years later. But with television, Stephen Covey puts a section in here that says, we don't do any more serious reading after we graduate from school. And I really expanded on this last week when I talked about reading books and the health benefits that come from reading books. So this was Stephen Covey's approach to this. We don't explore new subjects in any real depth outside of action fields. We don't think analytically. We don't write, at least not critically or in a way that tests our ability to express ourselves in a distilled, clear, and concise language. Instead, we spend our time watching TV. And when you combine the difference between active reading and a more passive activity like television, I can understand the argument, because our schooling wasn't based on television. there were some days when the TV would roll in and maybe the teacher had a hangover or something, but we'd have some days where we'd have television, and maybe it was Bill Nye the Science Guy or something. That was still really fun and educational, and I loved those experiences, but overwhelmingly it was reading books, applying that knowledge, and proving you had the knowledge during your tests. By the way, I want to remind everybody, if you want to call in, that's going to be 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. And if you want to send me an email, that's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. And if you want to get a free copy of The Richest Man in Babylon, the PDF, just send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. Now, I'm someone who doesn't watch a lot of television, and I don't say that in a way to imply that somehow I'm doing productivity activities nonstop, because I do have what's another activity that a lot of people look down upon that I use on a regular basis, which is video games. And I started to look and research the statistics with video games, and right now, with the pandemic, we're looking at over 40% of people in the world who game on a regular basis. And that to me is a lot more than I expected. And it's actually right around 40% in the United States. We're really right around the middle for video game consumption. And other countries in the world, like in East Asia, have higher levels of video game consumption, especially in South Korea, which has an extremely strong video game culture. And I couldn't yet find something that combined what gamers were using on a weekly basis combined with television to see what are these two activities that most people argue are overly passive and maybe when used too much don't really do a whole lot of good for the consumer. But the average right now for a video gamer is 8.5 hours each week, so a little over an hour per day. And what's cool is that if you have a gaming account, you can typically see how much time you spend. And so far over the past year, that's about what I was at. Well, I was actually less. I was about 7 hours a week, so that was right around an hour per day on average. And some days I don't play, some days I play more. So, but that was still the average, so I guess it turns out that I game less than average. But I don't watch television because I don't have fun watching television. I think it's boring. I think sitting there watching a show is boring. It's not engaging to me. I want to be engaged with what's in front of me. I want to be challenged. I want to manage something like an RPG character. I want to be testing my skills, fighting through a level. That's what's kept me engaged. So I don't really know, based on the data that I found, what is the total time an average person is spending combined with video games and television. But it's probably close to a whole day, I would assume. Probably 24 to 30 hours a week that are being used with this stuff. And of course, taking it back to the radio show last week, we can see that there are already established significant benefits to reading, but unfortunately we don't know what benefits are there from regular television consumption and regular video game consumption. And there's definitely some more research that needs to be done. I would definitely want to take a look some more at the video game side of things, but it seems like as long as we're balancing this with the engaging brain activity and relaxation mode, like reading, like writing, you know, even just 30 minutes a week of reading or writing seems to be able to get the brain engaged and allows us to defend our brain against atrophying conditions that cause it to lose its strength, and then we end up paying for that in the long run with less greater cognitive decline, greater risk of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. It's, of course, you'll hear me say this a lot, if you don't use it, you lose it. The brain is no exception. Treat the brain like a muscle, pretend it's a muscle, and commit to the activities that allow it to stay engaged. And with all of that put together, we're coming back to what is sharpen the saw in this context. Sharpen the saw is going to mean using these activities in a way that are still positive and still constructive for your life in general. Somebody cannot do the flip side of this work-pleasure balance and be the opposite of the person chopping a tree down in the woods that's just not sharpening the saw, and be the person that's supposed to chop trees down and instead is just sitting at home watching TV all day, or going through their phone all day, going through Facebook all day, or playing video games all day. If you have this job to do, the whole purpose here is that you're using this job for a means to an end, maybe, and that's it. Hopefully you get some fulfillment out of it, but you're using it to pay your bills, and if you're not doing your job, you're not going to get paid. But to do your job most effectively, you have to study on how to do it right, stay engaged, make sure that you're taking your rest and relaxation time seriously, but not taking to the extreme, this extreme opposite of the person with the unsharpened saw, to where all you're doing is watching TV day in and day out. So far, it looks like one state in the union has the highest TV consumption out of all of them. And so far, it's West Virginia. And their average time each day spent watching television is, to me, a whopping 3.8 hours. So almost 4 hours each day spent watching television. And if we take that and do 3.8 times 7, we're going to get 26.6 hours a week on average of watching just TV. So over a day a week consumed. And to really bring it back, if this is what someone wants to do, I don't have a problem with it per se, but it seems like whenever we're trying to improve ourselves and get to a better position in life, we have to take advantage of the moments that we have in the non-working hours to do so. An activity like television watching, excessive television watching, and excessive video gaming is probably not going to lead you to something that allows you to improve yourself. And it's not going to really make us feel fulfilled in the long run either. I really want to be careful with this point, because there's always that balance again, and I want to readdress that here. But if you get joy from watching television and you're still doing the things that you need to do, you're probably in good shape. If you play video games on a regular basis and you still do what you need to do, you're probably in good shape. But anything that's excessive, I mean, being on TikTok all day and doing all these other things all day in the free time, and then just wondering, hey, I'm now in my 40s and 50s and I'm not where I want to be financially, you have to be able to take a look and find out, what is it I need to do differently in my free time that will get me those better results? Once we get back in the final section, we'll finish up on Sharpen the Saw, and then we'll be done for the day. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment today of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. If you have any questions or you have anything you want to discuss about what I just talked about, call us in, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. If you want to send me an email to get a free copy of The Richest Man in Babylon PDF, just send me an email at trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. To wrap the whole point up that I was making, we've got the free time that we have, and it seems like most of us are ultimately spending it away on what we've identified through a Tim Urban TED Talk called monkey activities, the procrastination activities. It's the sharpen the saw, but not really sharpening a saw, but doing something that keeps us away from the saw and the work, and then we're not able to do a whole lot of anything very effectively. It's the ultimate procrastination cycle when we spend over 2 hours a day watching television every single day, an hour or more playing video games, and then how many hours we could be spending on top of that just going through text messages and going through Instagram and going through Facebook and TikTok. And then the day is over. And then we do it all over again. And then we do that for years after we graduate high school or college. Then years become decades. And then we are at that age, 40, 50. We're getting close to retirement age. And we're not in a financial position we want to be in, because we haven't taken the sharpen the saw principle in the way that it's supposed to be used. And maybe we haven't even understood it or learned about it, but we've taken the free time and hijacked it in the sense that we've used it for just monkey business, just instantaneous gratification, just to say that, hey, I'm stressed from work every single day, so I deserve to watch Netflix for 2.5 hours. I deserve to binge watch sports for 2.5-3 hours every day. Or I deserve to game, I deserve to be on my phone, this, that, and the other. And then we're not taking the time that we really need to be doing to improve ourselves when we're not in the position that we know we don't want to be in. These free time activities are supposed to sharpen us and allow us to do the job that we need to do better. And that includes the things outside of our full-time job to get into a business or invest in real estate and get to the position that we want to be in. This is what most people are doing, and this is not to say that I'm perfect about it or anybody at Total Wealth Academy is perfect about it, but it is something that we're conscious of and something that we really do our best to practice and avoid. I don't want to be the type of person who plays video games to excess and is playing 4 or 5 hours every single day. That would drive me absolutely nuts. And I've been to that point at certain times in my life when I literally didn't have anything better to do with my time because I convinced myself that that was the case. But eventually I got to the point where it's just like, man, like, this is hour 4 and 5 of playing the same game. Like, isn't there something else I could be doing? Like, isn't there something better I could be doing with my time? It's at that point that you can ask those questions. You don't need to be asking yourself and guilt tripping yourself whenever you've done doing the work and you need to sharpen the saw and you start watching TV or gaming for like 15 or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or even an hour. That's that balance, and that's, I think, where the challenge is really coming. It's still not to say that any of these activities are bad, as I really want to make clear now and as I tried to make clear earlier. The activities themselves are not the problem, but it's the way that we use them to excess through our natural bad human habits sometimes that make them take control of us, and really we allow them to take control of us, and then all of a sudden we're at a point where all this time has passed and we're not at a point that we want to be at. So we have to be very, very careful with how we're using both our work time and our sharpen the saw time. And just again, do not guilt yourself over spending a normal amount of time in these activities. But if you get to a point where you're doing it too much fun activities and pleasure can be just as bad as too much work. You have to find your own unique sense of balance there and balancing, because you're never going to be perfect about it. You're never going to be perfectly balanced, but you're responsible for taking care of yourself. One of my favorite just life lessons is when you fly in an airplane and they tell you if they lose pressure in the cabin, whose mask do you put on first when the masks drop? Yours. Because if you've got your mask on and you've got the oxygen that you need to survive and think clearly, you're going to be able to help all of the people around you perfectly fine, including your kids, including your spouse, and maybe somebody nearby that doesn't have someone with them that needs help. But if you decide to be a hero in the foolish sense of that term, and you end up trying to put your kids' masks on, and you're losing oxygen, and you can't breathe, and you're fading, and then all of a sudden, you couldn't even get your kids' masks on, and now you're passed out, and now your kids are passed out too. So you have to make sure that you're sharpening your saw, you're taking care of yourself on both the work front and the pleasure front. To wrap things up, we have a fun part of the free sample class, which is a slide during the 15 principles that's called Stay Fit and Sleep Less, and Energy is Everything, Exercise, and Wake Up at a Good Time. If we want to talk about what some people are using as the ultimate monkey business, it would be sleeping too much. You know, we didn't even touch on an activity that's literally just somebody laying in bed doing a whole lot of nothing. And let's talk about it beyond reasonable sleep, which for most adults is going to be right around 7 to 8 hours. And as we get older, we end up needing more sleep. But Arnold says, if you're still tired after getting your normal amount of sleep, sleep faster. He advocates for 6 hours of sleep a night. That seems to work for some people, but for most of us, we're still at 7 to 8. So I say 6, 7, 8 hours for adults is what you need. But if we get to the extreme point where somebody is really not feeling the activities they're interested in, they're really not proactive, somebody could end up sleeping even more than that, and then they're just basically deleting this time on a daily basis that they could be using for even fun, just the fun activities they should be engaged in. I mean, forget the work for a second and just say, hey, if they really enjoyed doing something like gardening, painting, writing, playing an instrument, that's time that's not going to come back. There are some times and some days where we have to sleep more, but the people that are sleeping this much, that's an extreme level of sharpen the saw taken to the bad way. Of course we have to sleep. Science says we have to sleep. Maybe someday we won't need to sleep, but we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves in that regard too. Apparently in the United States, 50% of Americans, it already says, we talked about this before, aren't getting enough exercise, but insomnia in the U.S. workforce cost businesses over $63 billion in lost productivity over the course of a year. And not to mention the drivers we see sometimes on the road, which reminds me, I was literally driving down the street one time, and there was a stopped truck in the middle of the road, a stopped pickup truck, and he was right in front of me. I'm in my pickup truck, and this is a man in a white Chevy full-size pickup truck. And the light has been green. We're pretty far back from the light, and he hasn't gone, and literally all of the other cars have gone. And I was unfortunately too close to him to be able to turn around him. I would have had to go backwards, but I was just worried that something was wrong because there was no response to any of my honks or anybody else's honks. So I got out of my car, literally, and I didn't do that. I actually drove off next to it, next to the fast food joint, so I could see what was going on. I didn't get out in the middle of the street. I got next to him in the parking lot, and I saw, and this guy was asleep in his pickup truck. This was a man who was literally leaned all the way back in his seat, passed out in his pickup truck, driving. So there's that balance, too, and I think that's really what this is all coming down to, is we have all these things that we can do. We have all these things that we need to do. But if we end up working too much, we suffer. If we end up resting too much, we suffer too. If we sleep too little, it's bad. Too much, it's too bad. So identify the things you love to do, embrace them, don't guilt yourself about them, but make sure you're balancing everything that you can when it comes to the rest and relaxation and work. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I hope this was constructive and helpful and lets you find out something you need to change and want to change and work on it. This has been Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. This is Trevor Davis, and I'll see y'all next week.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.